the Better Brews Podcast. Calling all business owners, busy bees, and wannabes. If you're here, you're in the right place. I'm Stephanie Huffman, owner of Bosco, Bailey, a business, and a bursa. Each week, I'll take you behind the barista bar and share with you the recipes for juggling the lattes of life while looking for that perfect blend. Welcome to the best 20 minutes of your week. Now let's get down to business. The Better Brew Podcast was started for people like you and me. We're trying to run a business, a home, and a life. Contrary to what some people might think, it's not easy, and sometimes we're just faking it as we're trying to juggle all of those plates. Well, welcome back. In this third and final episode with astronaut Ray Seddon, we address what it was like for her to begin to think about writing her book and what that journey was like. She wrote her memoir, Go for Orbit. And since she had already done episodes 1 and 2, I asked her to stick around for this third and final segment. So let's pick right up where we left off. So Ray, we've talked about your business, your home, your life. We've been pulling back the curtain on life behind the scenes for an astronaut family. We watched as you continued to brand yourself without professional coaching, just following your gut, I guess we could say. Then, if you hadn't accomplished enough, you decided to be an author. Would you tell us a little bit about how that came about, why you decided to write a memoir, and what that journey was like for you?
Well, you know, a lot of things in my life have happened somewhat serendipitously. But, you know, there came a time when I thought, you know, I am tired of traveling. I am tired of doing these other things. What can I do? What's on my bucket list? And I decided that my time at NASA was a very unusual time and that people should know about it. And I wanted to leave that as a legacy. So I decided that I needed to sit down and write a book. Knew nothing about writing a book. Before I left NASA, I had about a year in which I knew I was going to leave. And so I started just writing down everything I could remember and just spewed forth. I do that a lot. Even now when I have to write something, I just spew forth. I put it all down. It ended up being 13 yellow legal pads full of information. Now what? I have the story. I tried to get somebody to transcribe it, and she wanted to change everything. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm going to have to put this on the computer. So for quite a while, I sat, you know, used every minute I had to sit down and try to get it on the computer. It was kind of hard to do, but I would, you know, drop the kids off at camp and then, you know, go sit in a restaurant for several days. Putting it on the computer, went to a friend's condo that he let me use for a week and got it on the computer. But I thought, I don't know. And so I looked at our local university. I was going to take a class in English or something. And they offered what was called a low residency class. You came on a weekend, you heard other writers talk about their process, their books, whatever. And then you went home. And then at the end of every month, I guess, or every week, you sent a mentor a certain number of words for them to critique. So I did that, and I did that, and I had a wonderful mentor. It was very enlightening because I had all of the facts down, and he would write in the margin, what did that feel like? I hadn't thought about what did that feel like? Or what was said? Or what did you say? How did you handle? And so he made a factual story into a real story, into a real book. And then, you know, okay, it's all on the computer. Now what? And so a friend of mine, or not even a friend, an acquaintance of mine, asked me to come and speak to a business networking group. So I didn't know really what I was going to say, but I would tell them about my career at NASA and some lessons that I had learned. And the audience was very receptive. And I said, I'll be happy to take questions. And one gentleman said, have you ever thought of writing a book? And I said, well, yes, it's written, but I don't know what to do from now. So we finished up and everything. And afterwards, the host from the meeting says, there was a lady in the audience that you need to meet. And I thought, well, for what? He says, she knows something about books. And I thought, oh, okay, go sit with her. Well, of course, Stephanie, you know that that lady was you. And so we've had this long journey. I mean, it was crazy busy. Oh, you know, I've got it all here, but how do you make a book out of it? And, you know, we had fun, right?
Wow, yes, we did.
And I pushed you a little hard sometimes.
Well, my favorite story is, my favorite analogy of you is, oh, I forgot to tell you something. And I got the biggest kick out of you from day one. And again, it's an honor to have partnered with you over these years, especially since my dad worked at NASA in a low-level capacity. Of course, he was no astronaut, but he was there during the time of the Right Stuff at Edwards. And so for me to come full circle and have the pleasure and privilege of working with you has just been amazing. But it was so funny because Your life had been going along pretty normal, but when we started the book process, it's like all the stars started to align, and it got crazier and crazier and crazier. And every time I'd turn around, you'd be like, I forgot to tell you. And I was like, well, what? Well, I'm going to be on PBS. Okay. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I just got a letter that I'm going to be inducted into the Astronaut Hall of Fame. Okay. Well, I forgot to tell you, I got invited to the White House. Okay. And it just got weirder and weirder. And it was so much fun. And yes, we had to fast track with you like nobody's business. And we all survived and we're still friends. But yeah, your trajectory in life is always like that. It is amazing to me. Do you ever feel like, I think I have fairy dust?
Well, sometimes, again, it's serendipity. Serendipity comes along and says, guess what? And, you know, you're always there to back me up. And so we've traveled this road together, and it's just been great fun. You know, I have some stories, but you helped me get them out there. And, you know, it's been wonderful to be able to get the book and get social media and get blogs out there. But I never would have known how to do that. I needed someone like you to travel along with me. I mean, you know, that's an important thing in the business world, I think, or in your personal life, you know, find helpers. But, you know, we're still doing that, Stephanie. You know that every day something comes along that we go, what?
It never ends.
Stephanie,
it
just says, never. You say, just calm down. We got this. We got this.
We're going to get through this. I think one of the things that you could teach people, though, is A, when you see opportunity, you not only go for it, you study it, you vet it, and you commit to it. You are not one to let opportunities slide by. You have always been one where if there's an opportunity, you grab it and you go all the way with it. And you also have committed to aligning yourself with people or professionals or opportunities as well that will get you to the goal. And right. I wonder if you ever realized that consciously, that when you want something, you align yourself with the right people, the right places, the right time to go the distance.
Well, that's what I have kind of learned to do. And so, you know, I like to say sometimes serendipity meets audacity. I'm just kind of audacious enough to at least explore those things and listen to what people have to say. And, you know, there certainly have been things that I've thought, that's not going to work for me. But so many good opportunities come along. And I think, you know, you have to be willing to listen for those opportunities. And, you know, a lot of times it's just not right, or you don't understand how that would work. And other times it's kind of like, whoa, I see that fitting in as one of the puzzle pieces, you know, going on in my life. And those things have happened to me all the way along the line. And I have to believe that they happen to other people too. If you're just watching, listening, wishing and hoping, and you're willing to consider things like that.
You're also very open to change, even though you may not like it. You're very open to it, and you're willing to do what it takes. When the COVID hit, your world turned around. You were a speaker and an author, and the way things were then are not the way things are now. And you were forced to go into a new technology mindset and environment that you had never experienced. But you just grabbed on with both hands and you're like, okay, here's a roller coaster, but I am holding on and we're going to survive this. And you did.
Well, there were people that stuffed me into the roller coaster seat, Stephanie, and said, here's how you do this. My kids come over and say, Mom, you know, because they understand the technology better than I do. And, you know, my younger daughter, you know, is delightful in helping me with that. But, you know, again, you have to have people to help you. You can't know everything. And when things change, you will find that there are people who've adapted quite well, and it's always a good thing to learn lessons from them, definitely.
Well, it's lovely to have your daughter around to translate, isn't it? It's fantastic.
It is. She lives near me, and, you know, I can call her up and say, you know, here's a picture of something. Tell me what that means. And, you know, she's very good about it. She's just gotten her first full-time job, so I'm not sure she's going to be quite as available to me. But, you know, we've become close because we help each other.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. If there was something that you saw down the road, usually it just organically happens. It's not like you pick it and go after it. It kind of just all falls into place for you. Do you see anything else in your future? Do you find yourself thinking there's something else after this?
Yeah, there are these TV programs and things that are coming along that people are becoming interested in, you know, the astronaut program or the space program, and there are Netflix series that are coming along and other TV programs that are kind of like, oh, yeah, I was a part of that. And so I think probably my husband and I will become involved in some of those things, but we shall see. If it works out, fine. If it doesn't, you know, we're situated well here. But I think that is one of the things that people are doing more of now, and that is sitting in front of their television, watching interesting things, sometimes about, you know, historical things like, you know, the Apollo program, the Challenger accident, you know, astronaut stuff. I'm sure there will be forthcoming ones about the space station and things like that. But I think that's probably something else that I'm going to get involved in.
Yeah, we've definitely noticed the world has perked up. America has brought NASA back to the forefront. We are no longer dependent on flying from a Russian locale, or launching, I should say, from a Russian locale. Hollywood has come calling. Interest is up. SpaceX launched during the COVID, so people were a little bit more of a captive audience. Everyone knew Bob and Doug. You actually have something in common with Bob and Doug. What is that?
I did discover that in just sort of, you know, looking at their bios and understanding, you know, who they were and where they came from and, you know, what their backgrounds were. And I discovered that Bob and Doug were both married to female astronauts, and they each had sons, kind of like me and my husband when we were young. And so it's kind of like a connection to them. They, you know, are going through the same things as we went through, and supporting one another and our careers and stuff. And so that was kind of a fun fact that I was able to come up with. It was interesting, you know, our first child was a son. Their first children were sons. And there's this theory that astronauts have more girls and fighter pilots have more girls than boys, but I guess we broke the rules.
Yeah, you did. Obviously, people are going to be going to space and commercial flights are going to happen to space sooner than later. Do you and Hoot talk about going back into space?
No.
You're laughing.
Younger people. There was a time when they decided, well, maybe if we're going to send people to Mars, we should send married couples. So Hoot came home and said, hey, they're recruiting married couples to go to Mars. And I said, no, I don't think that's
the
future. I've had enough of space flight, and that one's probably several years down the road. And, I'm not really interested. And he was kind of disappointed about that. But I think it was a joke to begin with.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I think Hoot probably thought maybe he could talk you into it, hopefully.
Well, the thing that Hoot would want from a Mars mission is you have to have something to fly. He never would have put himself in a capsule that, you know, plunked down in the ocean. He never was interested in the space program until they had the shuttle, which would be flown by pilots. And so if they have a Mars mission where they need a pilot to fly it, he might sign up.
And I think that for our listeners, Hoot was a Top Gun before Tom Cruise made it cool. And he was flying over Vietnam while you were protesting it at Berkeley.
Yes.
So he is always going to be a pilot. And he even still races planes.
I think he's finally given up the Reno air races. But yes, he won Reno one year. Five or six planes, wingtip to wingtip, 35 feet off the ground. It just worried the heck out of me. I watched it one time and I thought, I'm never going to watch it again. I'm just going to go home and pray. But he did finally win once, and I think that was the impetus to say, well, I've been there, done that. I don't need to do it anymore. But yeah, it's quite dangerous.
Got my bucket list. Do you have anything else on your bucket list?
Gosh, Stephanie. Just staying healthy and active and enjoying life as best I can.
Pretty fulfilled. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing major out there that I can say, I haven't done this and I've always wanted to do this. I'll have to think about that a little bit more, but you know, life is so full right now, I'm not thinking of adding new stuff just yet.
Well, you do have a good life. And I want to thank you again for taking so much time today. You've been above and beyond kind, much longer than I would have hoped. So thank you for everything. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
The same to you, Stephanie, and thanks.
Bye.
What a special, special opportunity. I'm honored that she would spend that kind of time and share her memories and her heart. Truly a remarkable woman and an American icon. I hope you have enjoyed today as much as I have. If you weren't able to catch parts 1 and 2 of this 3-part series, I encourage you to go back and listen in. You won't regret one moment. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram or LinkedIn. And if you would like to connect directly with me, simply email info@stephaniehuffman.org. And that, my friends, is what's been brewing in my brain this week. Can't wait to hear what's been brewing in yours. I'm Stephanie Huffman, wishing you not only a fantastic week, but that you'll find a better blend.